Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Leticia Velasquez, who you might recognize the last name because we had her lovely daughter on last show, and she's a filmmaker. And besides having a lovely daughter who's a filmmaker, Leticia is the co-founder of KIDS, which is Keeping Infants with Down Syndrome. Thank you for joining us today,
Leticia.
Tell us a little bit, I know we've had you on before talking about KIDS, just refresh us what your organization does and what you've been up to lately.
Well, we aim to raise awareness to the public of the 92% abortion rate of children who are prenatally diagnosed with Down syndrome. And we can't say it often enough because people who don't know are always shocked by it. They're shocked, as my daughter said, because it's not a bigger deal. It is a very big deal. There is no other group in the United States
that
is targeted as much as children with Down syndrome. There are very few conditions that can be diagnosed prenatally.
I mean, what does that say about a society that they can just say, we're going to choose this group of people and we're just going to exterminate them?
Gee, we've heard that term before, haven't we? We've heard terms like life unworthy of life, vermin, and all these were used to denigrate a certain class of people, the Jews in the Holocaust, the gypsies, the homosexuals, and Catholic priests and nuns. And they were exterminated. Polish people were exterminated in the camps. And this all comes from the same source. It's called eugenics. This was very popular in the 20s, and it was nothing more than a Darwinian social Darwinism, where we said, we're going to help nature along. Nature picks the strongest.
Yeah, because God doesn't know what he's doing.
Bull. Oh, of course. You know, he's not. Well, social Darwinism presumes that God is not at work here. There is no God. And we are going to help nature in the survival of the fittest by not only breeding healthy children. I remember seeing a news reel from the 20s where they actually had best in breed for boy and girl. It was atrocious.
Like heifers, you know?
Right in the United States, yeah. And so several people in the United States, like Margaret Sanger, would form partnerships with, you know, the up-and-coming National Socialist Party, which we know now as the Nazis, and admiring their work in purifying society from undesirables. And the first people that were chosen for extermination, it wasn't camps at that time, it was a castle, were the handicapped. Yeah. In fact, our Holy Father lost a cousin to this in 1944. A teenager with Down syndrome was the Holy Father's cousin, a young boy, 14, I believe, was taken away from his family by force. Of course, they would never have surrendered them. But many parents were convinced to, like we were in the 50s and 60s, it's for their own good, and surrendered their son, you know, presented with arms. They were under threat of death. And within a few months, they were told he died. Well, he didn't die. He was killed.
Right.
They were testing out the showers that were gas chambers on these people and bringing the buses back with their clothing and their gold teeth, just like they did with the Jews. But it was the retarded and the mentally ill that were first being tested on. And we're just doing it before birth. It's, you know, you can't say there's a master plan per se, but it is commonly known among doctors that that is the wise approach to advise the mother to terminate, as they say, a child with Down syndrome for their own good. You know, and a doctor wouldn't presume to tell you many other things for your own good about your personal life.
Right.
You know, like, for example, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists in 2007 recommended that every mother be tested for Down syndrome regardless of her age. Before, it was just recommended after 35 because there is an increased risk of Down syndrome in the child. But actually, most children are born to women under 35 because they have more children.
Yeah.
Most children with Down syndrome, they just don't think to test. So that's why some children are born and are surprised, because the amniocentesis, as you know, carries a risk of miscarriage. So anyway, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology in 2007 recommended universal testing.
Wow.
And that's when the Down syndrome community sort of woke up and said, hold it, you're targeting our children.
Right.
But in the same time, I just learned today that they were recommending that, yes, testing, prenatal testing, and termination for children with Down syndrome. They came out with a document saying that doing the same thing for sex, in other words, I wanted a boy,
I got a girl,
is immoral.
It's wrong, right. I know.
The same, there were two committees working on this simultaneously. I didn't see
any cognitive
dissonance between these two ridiculously opposite points.
Of course, we would say both are wrong.
Of course, they were right on half of it. They were, you know, of course. So my daughter, being Christina, is a girl with Down syndrome. If I aborted her because she's a girl, I'd be immoral. But if I aborted her because she has Down syndrome, that would be fine.
Right.
That would be a wise choice to make. And unfortunately, many women are lulled into that. They're frightened. They get a list of symptoms, you know, and they don't listen. They're fearful, and they just follow directions.
Well, I just think women who are pregnant are vulnerable anyways.
They're hormonal, they're frightening.
Like your whole brain just drains, you know?
Right, and you want to cling to the doctor's advice.
Yeah.
And he's a man or woman you trust. And unfortunately, they don't really have any background. They don't know anything about Down syndrome.
Right.
They're not trained about it. And they have oftentimes a bit of a prejudice against anybody with inferior genes.
Right, right.
And, you know, we're finding, as we're investing more and more money in research, these same parents that rose up in 2007 and said, hey, this is ridiculous, targeting our children, spent a lot of time, like I did, on the internet to promote more positive use of children with Down syndrome and forced the National Institute of Health to create a research plan. They didn't even have a research plan to deal with the symptoms of Down syndrome. And now there's a plan in place, and we're working to fund it more and more because autism has all kinds of money. Well, guess what? Autism is not, at this moment, prenatally diagnosable, but I've heard this is coming. And once it comes, that population is going to skydive, just like ours has.
Wow.
In fact, the Down syndrome population is even more under threat right now because of a new discovery made in China, Hong Kong, where they have a blood test. They can find the DNA from the child inside the mother's blood.
Wow.
Just at the early stages when you would normally have the triple screen or the, I don't know, was that 2 months that they have the blood test. So it's nothing more than a blood sample. It's not threatening to the life of the baby, of course, unless they find Down syndrome.
You know, the scary thing to me about that is that I understand that women who are pregnant will always have the DNA from their children.
Sure.
So what if you had a miscarriage of a child that had Down syndrome, subsequently got pregnant, and they were diagnosing your, you know, baby who had died from a miscarriage?
I never saw anyone bring that up. That's fascinating. Maybe that's why the child miscarried, because there was a chromosomal anomaly.
Or whatever. You know,
and that was your other child. That's right, because I carried 6 children. I was only able to give birth to 3.
Right.
I lost 3. So who knows what could have been wrong if there was anything with the child. Could have been me. I was diagnosed with diabetes, gestational diabetes, with the 3rd pregnancy. So it was probably coming along and causing these miscarriages. We didn't find out till later. But, who knows? Maybe something was wrong with the child, and that's why they couldn't survive. And that could be, you're right. How do you know which child it is? It's a very good point.
Because they don't tell women that. I mean, they don't tell you that, you know, even women who have had an abortion, they have the baby's DNA still within them.
No wonder they miss them so much.
Exactly.
You know, they're still carrying part of them with them.
Yeah.
They
become or if a woman had had an abortion earlier and she didn't know that the child had Down syndrome, you know, she goes into a subsequent pregnancy. I mean, this is just crazy.
Wow.
So they could be aborting children even if they don't have Down syndrome.
That's amazing. And they're hailing this. This is the headline that really gets me. I can't read. Life-saving discovery. Whose life
are they saving?
The net lives, there are more children being killed because there's more abortions that are going to happen. You will save perhaps a couple of miscarriages that would have been caused by amniocentesis, but they kept telling me it was a very low risk. Okay, and it's interesting because when abortion was first being proposed, the legalization of abortion in the late 50s, early 60s, they're still talking about it, they hailed it as a life-saving procedure. And this is very interesting. They wanted prenatal testing for children with Down syndrome because at that time they had the ability, late 60s. We had discovered what causes Down syndrome, trisomy 21. We knew how to look for that 21st chromosome by karyotyping, so we knew to take the sample, and we had that all in place. We will save lives. You know what they used to do? They used to tell a mother over 35, well, your chances statistically of having a child with Down syndrome are 1 in 35.
Right, right, right.
And that would frighten the mother
alone
into having an abortion.
So that's what,
and then a normal baby would be aborted, which was seen as a tragedy. Of course, losing a child with Down syndrome was considered not a tragedy. So they hailed the prenatal testing initially as a life-saving technique. You see how they twist the words around?
Yeah.
When actually, baby was dying. It just wasn't a typical baby. So I guess a child like my Christina doesn't matter.
Now, with this, our society is so conscious of health and looks and everything.
Yeah.
What happens when they find the obesity gene?
Look out.
You know, what happens when they find, you know, any of these?
Well, they've sort of got that covered. I went to a conference at the UN, and there was a speaker who got up who talked about eugenics. And he said, if they find a gay gene, and he was homosexual, it will be immoral abort gay children based on their gayness, because that's
discrimination. That's when the homosexuals will be pro-life.
That's right. And I stood up and I said, why? He said, because homosexuals are good for society. Children with Down syndrome aren't. Well, you know that I didn't let that sit very long. And I said, according to
whom?
I
would have loved to have been there.
Oh, I wish you were. I wish you were, because I was pretty lonely. It was me and CFAM, the Catholic Family Organization, the UN. We were the only two on that side. But that was a lonely argument. But this man actually said the homosexuals are good for society. People with Down syndrome are not. And then I gave him a list of accomplishments of people with Down syndrome had done, and it, just the love that they give to
exactly.
their families.
Exactly, I was going to say.
Who can judge what life is worthy?
And
this is Hitler again.
Exactly.
Life unworthy of life. It's eugenics keeps rearing its ugly head. As we advance in technology, we're able to cover it up. We don't have these ugly camps anymore. We have a nice, well, not always clean-looking clinic, as we know from Philadelphia. Dr. Kermit Gosselin's clinic was a house of horrors, but they're all houses of horrors.
Yeah.
I don't care how pretty, you could put flowers on the walls, the same thing is happening. As someone said, you could gild the ceilings, and you're still going to see murder underneath them. So it doesn't really matter, but it seems better because, you know why? You can't see what's inside.
Yeah.
And it's private, and it's hidden, and the Planned Parenthood is outraged because Lila Rose goes in there with the cameras and reveals what's happening in the darkness to the light. And they can't stand that. That's why they can't stand the baby pictures, the unborn abortion
ultrasound.
Pictures. Even the ultrasound they
can't
stand.
I know. I mean, remember when GE had a new 4D ultrasound coming out and they wouldn't even allow them to run commercials?
It was
because
gorgeous. I wept through the entire commercial.
Oh my gosh.
They played Roberta Flack the first time ever I saw you. I was crying.
And they had made them pull those commercials because
it was, so
it was too offensive. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Well, someone once said if wombs had windows, there would be no more abortion. And that's essentially what that 4D is. It's the closest thing we have to actually seeing the baby, and it's amazing how lifelike and how much personality. I mean, I saw Gabriella sucking her thumb at 8 weeks. I said, oh. She never did after. It was funny, after birth. just something to do, I suppose. And she already had a personality, though. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
At 8 weeks.
Oh, even
you know?
if you don't see the babies, they all have different personalities.
Oh, sure, just feeling them flip around.
And, my daughter was just like a turner. My son was a puncher.
I thought she was going to be a soccer player. I was convinced she was a boy from the kicks. But I think it was just the fact that I was teaching junior high school enough to make her nervous. Yeah, that old noise, you know.
you've been very successful in, you know, promoting kids your writing and everything. Tell us a little bit about Dr. Lejeune.
Yes, he was my hero. In 2005, my mother gave me a book called Life is a Blessing. It is his daughter's biography of her father. And it was written, he died in 1994. It was written a couple years after. And I was able to interview Clara Lejeune-Guimard in Manhattan a month ago. It was like the greatest honor of my life. I was just and met her mom and her other sister, Karen. And it was just amazing because he is a servant of God. He's up for sainthood. So I'm meeting people that lived with a saint. Just amazing.
Remind our viewers
Dr.
Lejeune.
Dr. Lejeune was the French geneticist. He's called the father of modern genetics, who discovered what causes Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's an extra copy of the 21st chromosome. And in 1958, he discovered this, and he was overjoyed because he said, now we can make their lives better.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. They took his discovery and turned it into prenatal diagnosis, and he was horrified.
Okay.
And Clara described to me this scene that really locked in his future for him. He had a medical practice. He saw thousands of children with Down syndrome in addition to research. He believed very firmly you need to have a clinical and the laboratory together so you don't lose sight of the patient. And a little boy of 10 had watched a debate on French TV. Abortion was still illegal. It was a drama about a woman who was trying to abort her child with Down syndrome and couldn't find an abortion. Oh, horrors. And then they had a debate. You know, oh, look at this poor woman, you know, the hard case scenario.
Right.
Abortion, Down syndrome was one of the hard case scenarios. They used to pry the door open for abortion for on demand. And all this argument to abort children with Down syndrome really bothered this 10-year-old little boy. He took it rather personally, you know? Imagine
it's
this
funny.
Child.
I know.
Yeah.
Funny how children are so like clear.
Yeah, this
on
poor,
what's right
this
and
poor
wrong.
Slow child was smart enough to figure out his life was being devalued as he watched. So the next day he went in with his mother to the consult in the office, and he was crying.
Aww.
And he jumped into Dr. Jin's arm and said, "You have to save us. They're trying to kill us, and we don't know how to save ourselves. We're too weak. Will you save us?" And he, you know, he embraced him. Then he came home, and Clara said he was white as a ghost. He came home for lunch, as he always did, his bicycle. He was a very humble man, you know. And he says, "If I do nothing, I am nothing. I have to act. I've been called." and he spent the rest of his life. And this is so sad because this is a man who won the John F. Kennedy Prize, the John Allen Memorial Award for Genetics, the highest awards, PhDs around the world, all UN commissions, you name it. The president used him as an advisor. He was as high as you could go in the scientific world, and it all plummeted after that because he stood up not for the most forgotten children. He stood up for children with Down syndrome at a time that, you know, remember, they were all agitating for abortion, both in abroad in Europe and here. So he swam against the tide, and he said to his wife when he gave an address at the UN that saying that the human being is a baby from conception to natural death, he says, "I just lost my Nobel Prize." And he was right.
You know, that's so irritating to me because as a scientist, a trained scientist, my assumption is you're always looking for the truth. But I was really disappointed, you know, once I got into the working world and that, you know, scientists,
they have an agenda.
Humans and they, you know, they're not always looking for the
not
truth.
Not always. Not if it conflicts with their internal value systems or their pocketbook. Well, Dr. Lejeune had to travel abroad because he couldn't get funds for his research.
Wow.
A lot of funds came from America, and so that's why I'm so happy that my mother got me that book. I read it. 2006, I got involved with journalism to bring the truth that Dr. Lejeune lived and died for was that children with Down syndrome have equal dignity. And he wanted to find a cure for Down syndrome, not because he didn't love them, but he wanted to save their lives.
Yeah.
And he said to a Canadian scientist that I spoke to, Dr. Marie Peters-Ney, as a Catholic, you're obligated to help me find a cure, or there will be no more children with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
It's prophetic. And now with this new, their numbers are highly threatened. And anyway, so he became my hero because he stood against the tide and he found God's truth in science. And what a great thing it would be for church to have a scientist saint. Because he said, I find God in science. There's no problem. Here he is. You look in the microscope.
Yeah.
You see the beauty of God, the order of creation.
I don't know how anyone can be a scientist and not be God-believing, God-fearing, God-loving. I mean, it's amazing.
They see what they want to see, I imagine, and they lie to themselves. But he was a man for truth. And it was interesting. I met the attorney, Martin Palmer, from the South, that called him to a case in Maryville, Tennessee, where a couple had 7 frozen embryos, and they were divorcing. And the judge couldn't, this was a landmark case, and the judge couldn't decide whether these babies were objects to be divided up as property, like a house and the car and the dog, or were they people to be given in custody.
Wow.
And of course, the man was saying, destroy them. And the woman, whose name was Mary in Maryville, said, no, give them life. And Dr. Lejeune said, this is the case of Solomon revisited.
Yeah.
Because the woman, the parent who really loves these children is willing to give them up rather than see them die. He said, how many times does the case of Solomon come? So he gave up part of his summer research time, which he used to cherish. His family would be off on the Danish coast celebrating summer, and he would work very hard in the summer. And he came to the United States, and it was covered on American TV extensively because it was such a landmark case. And he actually defined in American common law that human life starts at conception. And the woman won custody of the children.
Wow.
Sadly, it was overturned later. And the man got it, and the babies were killed. But it is in common law that human life begins at conception. And he has such a convincing case that the judge actually went over to visit his grave after he was gone in Paris. Yeah. So he really made quite an impression. So this was the kind of man he was. He loved to put very complicated scientific truths into very understandable chunks and sound bites that people could understand. For example, he called prenatal diagnosis for abortion chromosomal racism.
Yeah.
It's racism.
It's hunt and destroy.
Yes, hunt and destroy. It's seeking a specific class of people for their characteristics, physical, emotional, mental characteristics that they have in common, and seek to eliminate them from the face of the earth. Only with Down syndrome, it's not like you can get the last case, you kill that person and it's gone, because it keeps occurring again and again in nature. So you have to continually kill it off. It's not like getting the last case of smallpox, you cure that person and it's done, like they did with vaccines. No, you've got to continually eliminate, kill people until all babies are made in laboratories, and God forbid that ever happened. That's no answer either. You know, and then we could kill them earlier, actually. It's still killing, but it's less messy. Anyway, and the women are not involved.
I just read
Brave New World
this summer.
There you go. Isn't that the most terrifying thing?
It is.
G.K. Chesterton said that Aldous Huxley wrote that book about America in the 30s because of our immorality.
It is amazing how you can read something that was written so long ago and how scary it is how close we're coming to some of these things. And
yeah.
and that one, that book, you know, I was thinking a lot of people read that book in high school. It's like, this is too scary for high school students. Yeah.
No, I think we should scare some high school students.
It is very scary.
It's scary because it's true. Because if the government takes over reproduction, then, you know, our dignity has really been taken from us. Hitler tried to do it. He didn't have the technology, but I know he would have if he could have. Select at the very earliest stage of life who shall live and who shall die. He had to do it in a very messy, ugly, horrible way. We're doing it just more sanitized in laboratory, and people don't see it.
Yeah.
So until we shine the light of day on it,
and people don't realize that a lot of babies are, even in vitro fertilization, they do some testing to find out, you know, the sex, you know, to do sex selection and do different things that they can select the children.
So we want designer children.
Doing it. Exactly.
If I'm going to have a child, I'm going to have it when I want it. I'm going to have a blonde hair, blue eyed child with 140 IQ. And tall, slim, and good
at
basketball.
Where's all of the fun? Where's the surprise in life? You know, I mean,
God has greater plans for us than we could ever imagine.
Exactly.
And I never would have chosen child with Down syndrome, but as Gabrielle, my daughter, said, she's been such a blessing to us. And sometimes blessings are things which stretch us a little bit. Like I said in the video that we did together, most important learning I did with Christina is just the everyday patience having to follow through with a child that can be difficult. Well, we all have that experience as mothers.
Oh, I know. You're talking about your daughter during the movie, and I'm thinking, that sounds an awful lot like my daughter.
Yeah. That's right. And when she was born, I told the nurses, I quoted a book, Pregnancy Diary, that I had read by Mary Arnold, a beautiful pro-life writer from New Zealand. And she said, children with Down syndrome are the most solid citizens you'll ever see. You never see them in jail, right? They're not doing drugs. They're not going goth on anybody or, you know, usually getting pregnant and causing all kinds of havoc in the family. But your other kids could do that.
Right.
So there's a lot of trouble you'll be saved. You will have a stubborn, you know, toddler-like child at an older age. And you'll have, like, teaching her to use the potty was a long, drawn-out process.
So that was with my son, too.
It can be. There's no guarantees when you have children that they're not going to develop something later in life. I had a mother who gave birth to two sons who later developed type 1 diabetes.
Wow.
Wasn't even in either family. So you can't see it coming. All you have to know is that you have a God that is good, and He only gives you good things. And He gives you the strength to deal with things that on their surface don't look good. But you will be thanking Him for all eternity when you accept the gift and you embrace it and you say, okay, Lord, today I don't understand why this child is being like this, but I know it's for my greater good. Okay, I can handle this. And day goes by and you find out, you know, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you were seeing it from a bad point of view. And those that are good, loving human beings are open to change and to the humility to say, you know what, I learn by giving. As Father Tito said, we learn most from those that take the most from us, that demand the most. And sometimes they have PhDs, right? So you've learned from PhDs how childish they can be. No, seriously. Looking at science and only seeing what they want to see, you should be humbled by looking at the complex structure of a cell and to think, oh, this just happened by accident. No way.
Oh, I know.
No way.
I mean, I don't even have to go cellular. I mean, I used to do surgeries on animals, and if you open up the animal, it's so organized, it's so amazing. You know, even Newton, he said, just look at he only has to look at this thumbprint
understand
that there's a God.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, literally, you think about it, every person, even twins, different fingerprints.
That's how Dr. Lejeune first came upon the idea of Down syndrome being chromosomal. He discovered that fingerprints often will reveal genetic characteristics. So he was like a forensic geneticist there. And he started with the fingerprints, and then he used a little bit of skin, and he looked at the chromosomes. And he did a karyotype and said, okay, there's three copies. It's a very small chromosome, 21.
Yeah.
But oh, what a difference in every cell of the child's body. 95% of Down syndrome is not inherited. It's just, it's an accident that one chromosome doesn't get divided. And it's amazing what a difference that can make. But science is making great strides now that we've started to spend more money. Great strides in even healing autism and cancer, not autism, I'm sorry, Alzheimer's and cancer through Down syndrome research, because we've located certain genes in the 21st chromosome that affect the growth of cancerous tumors and affect the degeneration of the nerves.
In a positive way.
Yeah, we might find cures for other diseases while we're looking into Down syndrome, because we have you know, like you have twin studies where you can
right.
isolate certain characteristics. Well, with Down syndrome, we know she's got 50% more of genetic material of chromosome 21. So we know that there's he says it's like a record, Dr. Lejeune says, like a record that's skipping. You know, there's too much repetition of that message. So we can see, okay, well, this is the effect of it on the body, and it helps you to make more deductions scientifically. So it's actually helping advance science. When we were closed-minded, it said in 1960-something, we've got the cure for Down syndrome, it's called abortion. Mm-hmm. We were really very, very close-minded. And fortunately now, thanks to, I believe, the intercession of Dr. Lucian from heaven, scientists are finding cures that will affect, make the learning and cognition of Down syndrome normal. Not that Christine is not good enough as she is.
Right.
But other mothers may have the courage to choose life.
Right, right.
If their child can have a normal life.
Right. And like you said, if we exterminate all these children, we're going to lose a lot of possibilities for, yeah. you know, medical research that we've been looking for the cures for years and years.
Yeah.
And it might have been under our noses the whole time.
And we threw it out. Yeah. Plus
wow.
the amazing love that they give us and the amazing
yeah.
perspective that they have on life. And there's no problem that can't be overcome with a good, strong hug. You know, I love that philosophy.
I know that you had mentioned before that Ireland has a lot of children with Down syndrome.
They don't have abortion.
They don't have abortion.
And they just opened a modeling agency for people with Down syndrome.
Oh, awesome.
So see how they value, how effect that has had on their culture. They have a cartoon called Punky. She's a little girl with Down syndrome. She's the main character. It's just part of life. And amazingly, not amazing, the European Union is trying to force abortion on Ireland, so pray for them.
Well, and the other thing I just saw was that Ireland has the lowest rate of maternal death.
Do you think that has something to do with it? Yeah, and they've always said that pregnancy and childbirth are dangerous.
Dangerous,
women.
Right.
It's the opposite.
Right, it's absolutely
God
the
made
opposite.
Us to have children. Yes, sometimes things go wrong, but in most cases it's the abortion.
It's very natural. You know, we've been doing it for years.
That's right. It's our nature. It's our nature.
Yeah, so it's really a scary world in which we live in, and I'm just glad that you guys are around to let us open our eyes and see, you know, the errors of our ways and also to see the beauty, you know, that we're missing by eliminating children that really would be spreading love throughout the world.
I think that's why people want to eliminate them sometimes, because they're signs of contradiction, like the Holy Father John Paul said, they're signs of contradiction.
Yeah.
And it runs against the popular current that you can't be too slim, too rich, and perfect. That they're imperfect, and yet they're beautiful. That just sort of flies in the face mm-hmm. of our relentless pursuit of materialism and perfection. How can something that is someone that is slow and is a little more heavy be a blessing? Well,
yeah.
I'm here to tell you they are.
Thank you so much for joining
You're
us
welcome.
Again. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you've learned something. Talk to your family and friends about the things that you learn here on The Face of Pro-Life. And when you look in the mirror the next time, you realize yours too is The Face of Pro-Life. Join us next time.